This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. Well, today, folks, we're talking to somebody who is usually talking to us. Jimmy Church is with us. He is, of course, the host of Fade to Black and guest host on Coast to Coast AM quite frequently. You know him by his words, Göbekli Tepe. You've heard that a few times if you listen to Fade to Black, as I do. I have often been a guest on Fade to Black, but I have never interviewed Jimmy, and I am shaking in my shoes. Hello, Jimmy.
You know, it's about time, Whitley.
Boy, do I feel like I'm on the other end of the microphone right now.
You know, and for me, it's an honor and a privilege to get this table turned around with you, where I get asked the questions. And, you know, I'll just say this really briefly. I have listened to you and your interviews and Dreamland and Unknown Country for years. And the knowledge that I got from it is one thing, but your conversations with your guests have taken me to places that I needed to go. And for me to be here today with you, Unknown Country, Dreamland, I'm just where I want to be right now. So thank you so much.
Well, we're going to go into some interesting places today, folks, because something has happened recently. I want to set the scene a little bit. We all know about To the Stars Academy. Jimmy knows a lot about it. I heard him talking about it on his own show, and that's one of the main reasons he's here today, because I think he has more of a grasp of this, of what's actually going on, than anyone I've heard. Okay. Back in 2017, two things happened. To the Stars begins to appear. I believe it started in 2017, as I recall.
That's right.
Yeah, and shortly thereafter, these Navy videos are released by, not by the Navy or the Pentagon, but by a man who claims to be a disgruntled individual, Louis Elizondo, whose budget analyzing UFOs was cut. And so he released these videos. So he said, or so it appeared to be in the public. It was picked up by the New York Times, the Washington Post. A great deal was made of it. Then, this month, September of 2019, this might run in October, I'm not sure, because we're awfully close to the end of the month, and I have a weekly show. Anyway, in September of 2019, the following proceeds to happen. The Navy, again, says they don't know what these objects are. In other words, they end the speculation in the general media that there might be secret aircraft or things from another country. I know in Popular Mechanics a few months ago, they had an article saying that the idea that they might be alien spacecraft was infinitesimally small, that they probably were secret aircraft or something from another country. The Navy said, no, that's not the case. They didn't say they were from another planet either. But here's the kicker. What happens? The media does not go to Louis Elizondo at all. He's gone. All of a sudden, the spokesman, the front man for To the Stars Academy comes forward, and now he's the go-to guy. What happened to Louis Elizondo is this, and why it happened, and what this is really all about is the subject of this discussion. Okay, Jimmy, I want to start by asking you a question. Very simple question about the people in To the Stars Academy. Who?
Right, right. Excellent, excellent place to start. And even before I get direct, let's set the table for this a little bit. In October, the reason why so many, and specifically John Greenwald and myself, started to put a magnifying glass on To the Stars Academy and who their staff was, wasn't necessarily from recent events. And in fact, what happened this week, which was hugely explosive, as you just spoke about, I immediately recognizing that, speaking with John Greenwald, who broke the story last week on September 10th, about the Navy saying, yeah, okay, these are UAPs in these videos. We can't explain it. That's huge news for ufology. We immediately took everything over to Coast on Saturday night and broke the news. This week, starting on Monday, that was on Saturday. We got a break on Sunday, right? On Monday, everything broke loose, and that is CNN, Fox, RT, Time Magazine, Popular Mechanic, you know, Vice, the list of mass media outlets that picked up on the story is long, and because it's one of the biggest stories maybe in the history of ufology, it's some type of confirmation. But let's back up, because that's the end of the story. What originally happened occurred back in October of 2017, before the New York Times article was released by Leslie Kane and others. In October, they did a live press conference. And in this live press conference, they announced the forming of TTSA and selling of stock that day. And they brought up on stage Chris Mellon, and they brought up Steve Justice, and others. And when Chris Mellon took the microphone, behind him, as he's talking about UFOs and alien technology, behind him on the screen, they posted a picture of this object in the sky that had been up on the web previously. But Chris Mellon says, and I'm going to paraphrase, he says something to the effect of, what is this? We know it's not secret American technology. So what is this object? We're going to go and find out what this object is and others. And that's what TTSA is here to do, and we're going to figure out this alien thing. Well, the object behind him turned out to not be a UFO. It was a Mylar party balloon. Okay? It was a giant number one. And this image was debunked back in like 2005 by Steve Mara over in the UK. Well, that is what started the looking into of TTSA, in that how can a company sell stock, right, in the company, yeah, researching alien technology, and they're selling the stock in the company by alarming people with a photograph of a Mylar party balloon. And I stepped back at that point because I had I was interested in TTSA, and Tom DeLonge and I had a relationship, and we were talking, and things were good. And I was excited, but you can't mislead the public and get them excited over an image that wasn't a UFO. And I thought to myself, who is behind this? How can this kind of mistake be made? Was the mistake on purpose? Did they not care? You know, there were all of these reasons to ask questions. So at that point, I looked into the staff of TTSA and presented to Tom. I had Tom DeLonge on Fade to Black. He's only done a couple of interviews, and
he won't interview with me at all. But that's okay. There's no sour grapes here, by the way, folks. A lot of people don't want to interview with me. It's nothing unusual. Go ahead.
Welcome to the party, Jimmy. You know, in that you've been dealing with this for a long time, Whitley. For me, I'm coming into this, even though I'll be 56 years old next week, I'm still the young guy in the room.
I'm 174. I say I'm 74, but it's a lie, of course. Go ahead.
What? Finally, we get that disclosure out of you.
Right. Listen, before we go on, we're just coming up on one of our wonderful soft breaks. Unlike Jimmy, I don't have hard breaks, but I do have soft breaks. And in this soft break, folks, why don't you, if you're a free Dreamlander and therefore will be listening to the commercials, stop that agony. Go over to unknowncountry.com, subscribe, come back, and listen to the non-commercial version. We'll be right back. Now, how will you go about doing that, working toward it? Because there's got to be some kind of infrastructure, and you run the risk, obviously, of nobody showing up. I mean, from their side, that's happened before. Years ago, the United States Senate a Senate committee became convinced that the Grays were going to show up in New Mexico and went out there with a whole bunch of equipment and people. And they said, Whitley, you must come because you're going to miss this. And I said, I'm not coming because it ain't going to happen. And it didn't. Mm. And afterwards, some of them said, well, if you had come, it would have happened. And I thought, no, it's not like that. But where are we here? Because you're not the only person who has the message that this is should happen in 2020. But you're one of the few that has confirmatory evidence that there is a presence there communicating with you. So what is your next step?
Do you remember the great Lawrence Gardner? Well, I certainly do remember his great, extraordinary books and his incredible vision of the past, the true past of mankind. Did you know that in the unknowncountry.com subscriber section, you'll find over 15 special interviews and dreamlands with Lawrence Gardner dating back to 2004. In order to find them, all you have to do is go to unknowncountry.com, put the name Lawrence Gardner, L-A-U-R-E-N-C-E Gardner, into the search engine on the upper right of the homepage, and they will all pop up. If you are a Dreamland subscriber, you can listen to any one of them by simply clicking on it. You'll be asked for your username and password, and you can start to listen right away. If you're not a subscriber, this is how to get information about the lost secrets of Jesus, the truth about Moses, the extraordinary truth about Moses, about white powder gold, what it is, how it works, incredible material only on unknowncountry.com and only in the amazing unknowncountry.com archive. Subscribe to unknowncountry.com today. It's just $12.95 for 3 months, and it will feed your mind. Don't miss this enormous and beautiful resource. Click on that subscribe tab on unknowncountry.com today.
We're talking to Jimmy Church, Master of Fade to Black, Master Investigator, by the way, also a guest host on Coast to Coast AM. You've heard him many, many times, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you. And we are talking about TTSA, its origins, its motives, and exactly what we can expect in the near future from that interesting source. So you were talking about your meetings with Tom and experience with Tom.
Yeah. And so I was looking into when this balloon pick and what was behind it started to take off. And I was contacted from various individuals. And one of them, of course, was Steve Mara, who debunked it. I thought, how can a mistake like this be made? And I had reached out to Tom and others at TTSA, and they were like, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. And I'm thinking, yeah, it is. You're selling stock in the company, and you just had Chris Mellon. Wait a minute. So I looked at the staff of TTSA, trying to figure out who is, you know, presenting the information, who was collecting these images. The presentation that was live in October was well orchestrated, written out, scripted, all of the information and images and the people that were presented, it was choreographed and directed. So how does this image of a Mylar party balloon end up in the middle of, and the centerpiece of, by the way, their live presentation where they are now launching this company and selling stock? So I started to take a look, and this is, for me, where the red flag started to go up. And I need to say, when you have 9 out of 12 people on the board and the key people of the company from inside of the Beltway, you know, from inside of not only the Department of Defense, but three-letter agencies and things of that nature. For me, I have to just step back and go, wait a minute here. I can't put my trust in this for one fundamental reason. At least trust is earned, right? It's just merely earned. A couple of years from now, if everything plays out, then okay. But jumping in with both feet, it just seemed like, you know what, I needed to be a little bit cautious, and I wanted the community to understand my point of view on this. TTSA may be great. It could turn out to be awesome, and they could be the best thing ever, but you need to be aware. And the reason for that is a very fundamental one, Whitley. You and I and this community and anybody else that has been involved in the UFO question for decades going back has been made fun of, teased, ridiculed, and put down and forever.
I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. And now suddenly the CIA and the Department of Defense and the United States Army, right, the military industrial complex, the Pentagon is our friend. Wait a minute here. And we all know about Project Mockingbird and other.
Well, tell us about Project Mockingbird in case some of us don't.
Well, Project Mockingbird was a CIA project that involved the media across the United States in both television and print, and print including newspapers and magazines, where they had paid sources across the nation in probably exceeding 1,000 different reporters and journalists and editors, by the way, where they controlled the message that they wanted out there into the public. And this went on for about 15 to 20, some say 15 to 20 years, some say it still goes on today, but it was real. And that deception out there is something that we now not only know about, but anything that happens, you just have to question what the source is. That's it. Just question it and then second the source, and then maybe you can get close to the truth. But with Project Mockingbird always hanging out there with the UFO community, you just got to have squinty eyes all the time. And here this pops up with TTSA, where their staff and 9 out of 12 are involved in one way or another with the CIA or the NSA or the Department of Defense. And that includes, I'm not going to get into this in huge detail. There's more to talk about. But Jim Semivan, 25 years as operations officer for the CIA's Directorate of Operations. You have Steve Justice, 31 years at Lockheed Skunk Works, a CIA project company. Dr. Hal Puthoff, who is somebody that we all respect, but has also worked for the NSA, the CIA, while he was at the Stanford Research Institute. Of course, Luis Elizondo. His title at TTSA is the Director of Global Security. I don't know why a UFO company needs a Director of Global Security, but
tell us a little bit about his background.
He was a career intelligence officer for the U.S. Army, for the Department of Defense, the National Counterintelligence Executive Committee. He was the Office of Director of National Intelligence Program Element Manager for ATIP. I'm not even sure what that means. But he was a spook. He was an agent. He was a counterintelligence professional. And then, of course, Chris Mellon. And if you go further down, Dr. Paul Rapp, a brain function consultant, CIA certificate of commendation, right? Dr. Norm Kahn, national security, 30 years at the CIA, recipient of the CIA's Distinguished Career Intelligence Medal. And we have to just that's the staff of TTSA. Tom DeLong, being chairman of the board, he's also listed as the interim CEO. And if he leaves the company, who takes over? Would it be Jim Semivan? I don't know. Would it be Chris Mellon? I don't know.
Chris Mellon.
Yeah.
I would think Chris Mellon is also extremely wealthy. Folks, you may, that name, Mellon, the Mellon family. I mean, this is deeply, deeply entrenched in the intelligence community and also in the wealthy elite that run this country and to a great extent the world.
That's
that,
right.
That has to be very clearly understood by everybody. We have a right to know this. This is, we didn't, you didn't notice any name Jimmy mentioned that wasn't somehow connected with the intelligence community or the Defense Department, because there isn't one.
And are these red flags?
Tom isn't.
Tom's the only civilian.
Right.
And that's
the only civilian is the front man. Now, come on.
And so we have to start and ask these questions. Is this a Mockingbird type production? Right. If Tom DeLonge leaves, it is now completely staffed by intelligence officials. And is this a mock? Are they trying to control the information, the narrative that is being fed to the general public? Going back to that balloon picture, right? If you have a stick like this, who makes the mistake of accidentally, which is what they said, it was an accident, of posting a balloon pic? Well, if you're all...
when they could have done so much better.
And if you are all researching the UFO phenomenon, something that is as simple as clicking, right-clicking on an image and doing a Google search is a fundamental type of research for anybody these days. And you find out.
Exactly.
And they would have known that it was a balloon pic from 2005 that was taken over in the United Kingdom. But apparently this amazing staff, nobody was smart enough to right click. That's one answer. The other answer is there's something crazier afoot here. And so I started to look into Lewis.
Let's wait a minute, because we've come up on another break. We're going to look into Lewis, believe me, in just a minute. Free Dreamlanders, listen.
Say yes to Serious Wonder. Unknown Country offers so much. Free Dreamland, a free weekly newsletter. Free daily news, a thriving free message board. But it all depends on you becoming a subscriber. And you get so much more. Dreamland and special interview archives going back years. Vintage Dreamland from the broadcast days. Live chats with our extraordinary guests. So say yes to Serious Wonder. Click on that subscribe tab on Unknown Country today.
The key, the mystery, the wonder. Now in a powerful new edition from Tarcher Penguin. Whitley Strieber updates the thrilling story with new revelations. Even the master of the key's most incredible predictions are coming true. We've discovered that there are many universes besides our own. He predicted this in 1998. He described how intelligent machines could be built. We're doing it now. If you love The Key, you need this new edition. And if you've never read it before, don't miss this beautiful book filled with true wisdom and true revelations. The Key is unique in this world. Graham Hancock says, "Consider its messages, and you'll find it has worked a kind of magic on you." The Key, a selection of the Quality Paperback Book Club, the Book of the Month Club, and the One Spirit Book Club. Available in paperbacks everywhere and online in all ebook formats.
There are hundreds of charitable organizations in the world, but you have to have a sharp eye to be sure your money is going to where it's needed and not into the pockets of overpaid administrators. That's why Whitley Strieber and UnknownCountry.com support the Mercy Corps. It's non-sectarian, it's lean and efficient, and it goes everywhere on earth that people are in need. When you contribute, you can be sure that most of your dollar goes right to the homeless, the starving, and the desperate. Go to Unknown Country and click on the Mercy Corps Foundation ad on the left side of your homepage. A $10 gift can put food on a child's plate and shoes on his feet. Unknown Country and Whitley Strieber receive no compensation from the Mercy Corps.
We're talking to Jimmy Church. Fade to black. He needs no introduction. He needs no promotion. But I will promote him anyway. Listen to Fade to Black. You never can miss. It's a great show. One of the absolute outstanding programs of its kind, not just on right now, but of all time. It's a marvelous show. And as you listen to Jimmy today, you know, he knows whereof he speaks. He also guest hosts quite frequently on Coast to Coast AM. Jimmy, we were talking about Louis Elizondo.
And the thing for me was this. If a mistake like this was made, then what else is real? And because of that, the breaking news of last week by John Greenwald, which was great news, amazing news. In fact, it kind of propped up and helped TTSA and what they've been saying. But the reason why that happened is because we started to look into Louis Elizondo and some of his claims, starting with that balloon pick. As we looked into everything, the timeline through Freedom of Information Act documents, their official statements, all public, by the way, all of the information that Greenwald and myself compiled was public domain stuff presented by TTSA themselves. That's it. Or Freedom of Information Act documents. We didn't go down the soap opera, you know, road here. We went only with the facts. And everything that we compiled, I ended up getting a list of questions together, and it numbered 10. I had 10 questions, and I turned around and presented them to Tom DeLonge, everybody at TTSA, and others that were involved with TTSA. I copied everybody, so I didn't want anybody to not have different information, and I wanted everybody to know that these questions were being asked by me, because at that point, I had already had Tom on the show, and I had read a statement from Tom that he gave to me on New Year's Eve last year to read to the Coast audience. And I had done Tom that favor. And now I didn't want to get stuck into being a spokesman, you know, for TTSA if there were problems here. So I sent out, or appear to be a spokesman, right? When I'm just a show host and somebody that's remaining objective. So I present these 10 questions. They did not respond. Well, they responded. They didn't answer the questions.
Yeah.
They had told me, and again, I'm paraphrasing. This is from a bunch of different emails, all pretty much said the same thing, which is, Jimmy, back off. We have secret information here that we're working on. You don't understand it. Neither does the public. And so, you know, just go do your own thing. And I thought, you can't do that. Then I got another email directly from Tom that said, contact our PR department. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought we had this open, you know, relationship, and the community is concerned. And Tom's reply back was, I don't care about the community. And really? It's the bigger picture, man. It's the bigger picture.
They say, I've been told that too, that they don't care about the community because the community isn't important. What's important is the mass of the public. And this is what really worries me, because you've got a situation here where these people will be the authorities for the media. They'll see those credentials, and they will listen to them with their jaws on the floor. Everything and anything they say will be assumed to be absolutely true. This is terribly dangerous. Can you tell us the 10 questions?
I'll pull those up after the next break.
Okay, great.
I don't have them in front of me. Let's see. Okay, I'll have it for the next break.
Okay, great. We've got about 8 minutes to go to the break. So,
this is ultimately what started to develop. Which is this? Are we dealing with Tom DeLonge being a victim because of the way that the CIA and counterintelligence works, which is they'll butter you up. They're going to make you be their friend. You are important. You are singular. We love what you do. Everybody loves you. And they work your ego from that side because they want to establish a friendship, and that you will be given inside information if you become our friend. And we respect you for that. That's how they roll. And we've seen this time and time again, inside and outside of the UFO community. This is how they work. Well, is that the case with Tom? Could he be a stooge? You know, because I know that he's really interested in the UFO question. This has gone on for a very long time. I think his emotions are real, and I think he wants to get to the bottom of it. He has reached out to numerous people in the UFO community, including Stephen Greer and others over the years. So is there that part?
Or you know, there was one thing I would say here. I'm just going to quickly interrupt. I have not been reached out to by him or anyone else in this group. When I had dinner with Hal Pudoff a few months ago in Austin with a couple of trusted friends, after dinner, my car was rumbled by somebody just to warn me to keep my mouth shut, which of course I will never do. And the situation is that there's something is real far off here, real far off. And we'll get into it more deeply as we go along. Go ahead.
So with all of these questions that we had, and I'll pull them up, we'll have them after the break. All of these questions, we started to doggedly try to find answers, because once you tell somebody like me or John Greenwald, you know what, whatever, you can't do that. And so we started to look into things, and the information started to come in. I had John on the show multiple times over on Fade to Black, and his excellent reporting is all over at the Black Vault. And we started to look at this, but this is the serious irony, like a strange paradox in this whole thing. While trying to look into Louis Elizondo, and actually uncovering things about Lou and other things and inconsistencies, John gets the Navy to come back and admit that these are UAPs in these videos, which is. Happened last week on September 10th and September 11th.
Right.
Huge news, but it wouldn't have happened if John and I hadn't been looking into the history of To the Stars Academy. It's a strange result, right? Be careful what you
be careful what you ask for.
So once these press releases came out last week, and we took everything over to Coast, and this is big news, and it was a lot of fun to see the reaction from the mass media and the general public on this. And I played a very small role in this, but it felt really, really good that finally we got some kind of confirmation. But in that confirmation, the United States Navy also said that Louis Elizondo had nothing to do with the release of the videos, that the release of the videos was never authorized by the Department of Defense or the United States Navy, and that is the end of the story. Well,
but the problem is that Louis said he did it.
TSA, this is what they based everything on from the very, very beginning.
Exactly.
So what do we do with this, Whitley? The general public, whether they're with TSA or not, sees this strange thing, goes back to trust of the Department of Defense and the United States Navy. Do we trust them? On one hand, they're saying UAPs are real. These videos, we don't know what's going on. And they are also saying that Louis Elizondo did not release the videos, he probably stole the videos and released them, but he was not authorized to release them.
They're saying he wasn't authorized, and he never said he was.
So you can't have it both ways. Either both statements are true or both statements are not. You can't pick and choose here what you choose to believe out of the Department of Defense.
Okay, we're coming up on our next break, and afterwards we will go back and revisit the 10 questions, and then we're going to go into some issues about exactly what Tom has said on the air at various times about what he has learned and what that may mean. I mean, learned about UFOs and aliens and so forth, and what that may mean, and exactly where he's coming from. We'll be right back.
Notice anything unusual about Unknown Country? When you land on the site, you don't see ads about things you've bought or things some data miner thinks you might like. Why not? Because when you come to Unknown Country, your visit is private. We don't use data miners. We don't report to them. When you come here, we leave you alone, which is as it should be everywhere. Another thing you don't see are video ads that start when you least expect it, pop-ups that interfere with your reading, clutter that distracts you. What do you see? Stories that go in depth, that see beyond where the general media will take you, but don't seek to confuse you with sensation and hoaxes. Plus, a gigantic news archive that's easily searchable with our powerful search engine and entirely free. Unknown Country, the internet as it ought to be, the truth that others will not tell you. Want to keep it coming? Join us today. Click on the subscribe tab on the masthead and get started. Unknown Country needs you, and you need us. Ever wonder what the Close Encounter experience is all about? Think you know what it's about? When you open Whitley and Ann Strieber's Immortal Communion Letters, you're going to experience a whole new vision, not something being told to us by researchers and theorists, but the actual testimony of people who came face to face with this unknown. Unforgettable. And the book is only $3.99 at Strieber.com.
Did you know that pet dogs are routinely stolen from their homes in Thailand and smuggled to Vietnam under atrocious conditions, and then slaughtered for food? Worse, the slaughter is brutal because it's believed that it makes the meat taste better. Of course, there are many larger problems in the world, but not to these dogs, and the Soy Dog Foundation is there to help them. Dog has given man everything he has to give, heart, soul, body, and mind. When he calls to us in need, we have to answer. Go to unknowncountry.com and click on the Soy Dog Foundation ad on the left side of the homepage. A $10 gift today can save a dog from this terrible suffering tomorrow. Unknown Country and Whitley Strieber receive no compensation from the Soy Dog Foundation.
We're back with Jimmy Church, who has been digging in his own very deep black vault and has managed to come up with the 10 questions. So let's hear them.
Here we go. Question number one. This is directly to Tom and everybody at TTSA. Question number one. The New York Times story refers to ATIP as the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Well, ATIP actually stands for Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. So, who swapped aviation for aerospace? TTSA or the New York Times? Okay, and that's a very important question because there was the Navy was saying it was aviation, but TTSA was saying it was aerospace. One is very terrestrial, and one is out there in space somewhere. Question number two, did Luis Elizondo actually head the ATIP program or just work for the DOD? Can you please provide direct documentation that he was the head of ATIP, which, by the way, has never happened either? When did TTSA know about the tic-tac color UFO image that you used during your live press conference? And did you know it was actually a Mylar balloon that was on the net since 2005? Your live event was on October 11, 2017, and your public admission was on January 23, 2018. Did you know prior to October 11, 2017? Did you know after? Who knew? Why did you wait until January 23rd to release a statement? And the statement was, by the way, their answer, it was a mistake. We're sorry. Okay. Question number four. The two videos that TTSA says they released were on the net and public. You and TTSA say that they were released by the Pentagon. Where did you and TTSA get the videos? From the net or directly from the Pentagon? If the Pentagon released them to you, do you have a chain of custody to prove this? Were they declassified? Were they ever secret? who declassified them. Now, I wrote this letter, by the way, in January of 2018. We are now in September of 2019. And notice how direct these questions are concerning things that are just now in 2019 being answered. We were on the case, Whitley. We were really looking into this very hard. Question number five. The New York Times article, mass media, all of it, implied that the two videos were of the same 2004 event that pilot Dave Fravor describes in all of his interviews. And that is implied that the footage was from his plane. Who is responsible for misleading the public in this way? I asked him that question because every time they showed the videos on Fox or CNN, right, they would bring in Dave Fravor to comment on it. But Fravor never said, those aren't my videos. I didn't take them. That's not what I saw. They didn't do that. They made everybody feel that Dave Fravor, and probably you right now are going, wow, I thought those were Fravor's videos. But that wasn't the case. And I wanted them to answer for this. And they still, to this day, Fravor has never come out, and nothing against Dave, seriously. It's the way that they have handled it. Nobody has come out and said, those weren't, these are two different things. But that's what they did and seriously misled the public. Question seven, who inside of TTSA is vetting the material that you and TTSA are releasing to the public and media? Who will be vetting in the future? Very harsh question, no answers. Question eight, is the material, videos, and documents that you currently are in possession of, that you have referenced in interviews, your live event, and on your website, been given to you from official government sources or just from the internet and are in the public domain? And this is another important question because just, and I'm going to get to this in a second, they have implied that these are Tom DeLonge's things, that this is a TTSA thing, that these are their videos that they've gotten released. They've been on the internet for a very long time. Okay.
Yeah, they're not new.
They're not new. Question nine. Will you address these questions and speak to the UFO community and the public directly? Okay. Obviously, we know that answer. And question 10, do you think that you may have been played and used as an asset by others to use your celebrity status to confuse and discredit the UFO community? And I finish, that's question 10. And I finished the letter with Tom, as you know. I was very excited about the events of December 16, 2017. Myself and our community have called it the Day of Disclosure. I announced it, covered it every day since, and now it seems to be falling apart from every side. My concern is for all of ufology, their personnel, professional, and emotional investment into this very important subject. Before all that you have done starts to unravel, I ask you to please consider answering these very important questions. Our community is very smart, and if you don't get out in front of this now, they will get their own answers, and they will do it quickly. For the community, with respect, Jimmy.
That is exactly on money, Jimmy. Go ahead.
And it was their responses to these questions, which, you know, this is a year and a half old, this letter. Their responses, because we were sniffing around, and these inconsistencies, the amount of things that have happened since then are a half mile deep. You know, there's a lot of problems with TTSA. These questions now, as I read them, as direct as they are very innocent because we were just seeing these things that it was like, wait a minute here, right? And we didn't get any answers. And it's because they ignored this in the very, very beginning. In the end, a year and a half later, resulted in the U.S. Navy reaffirming that those were UAPs in the videos. Pretty cool thing. But, and I enjoy that. The other part of this is where it gets nasty. The post by Tom DeLonge, which happened this past Monday after John's appearance with me on Coast to Coast. On Monday, he does a post and he creates a graphic, and the top of the graphic literally says, and I you can go and see this for yourself. he's got a picture of an aircraft carrier, and it says, the Navy says the UFOs in Tom DeLonge's videos are unidentified aerial phenomenon. Now, wait a minute. There is nothing here. And he's got Yahoo, Vice, right? Popular Mechanics, Gizmodo. He's got all these logos in it that this was his work. And I had to stop and think to myself, why is it that it through all of this, that TTSA doesn't say, thank you, John Greenwald, you know, for doing this? This is because if it would have been TTSA that broke the news, they would have very proudly waved the flag. But they didn't. And instead, they take this turn to imply once again that this is a TTSA revelation. And it was not. And the real story behind it is even darker. The other part about this meme that they created that went all over social media, that this was a TTSA thing, is that they didn't say anything about the videos were not to be released to the general public. And Luis Elizondo may have been played. Maybe Luis Elizondo has played us. And that's the other question that we seriously need to address here. Is Elizondo another pawn in this game, right? Was he played, or is he part of the deception? And that's, I don't know how we're going to move forward from here.
A situation where we can't trust any of these people.
And that's why moving forward, these videos, whether they came from the Pentagon or not, or information about this and the UFO question and UAPs, is the Pentagon now going to clamp down on this because of the way that this was done and the way that this was handled and that security was breached? And I don't know. And the other part about it is, and this is probably the biggest question of all, Whitley, with that staff at TTSA, all the CIA, Department of Defense, Global Security, all counterintelligence, all of that staff that they have, how come they didn't get the United States Navy to admit that these are UAPs in videos that they allege are their own?
Well, that gets me to a question that Joe Rogan asked, and it's a logical question, and I want to know what your take on it is. He asked Tom, why you, a rock singer, why are you even here? What are you doing here? And I got to ask you that question. What is he doing there? Do you have any idea? I mean, everyone else is a high-level intelligence official except the head of the thing, who is a rock star.
Project Mockingbird.
And I thought you would say that.
I'll tell you why. He has got a social media footprint that is, you can't put measure on. Well, you can if you go to direct numbers, but, you know, 750,000 Twitter followers. I don't know for sure, but I'm sure it's up there. A million Twitter followers. How many records he's sold. His ability to not only understand the media and marketing, because he's been doing that with Blink 182. He's also got a serious checkbook. A serious checkbook where he is able to go and do whatever he wants. He can quit his band like he did and just invest money and go investigate UFOs all around the world. He's got a private jet. He's got everything that he wants to do. Isn't that the perfect, because his ego comes into play here.
Yeah, I know the visitors very well, and they play people's egos all the time. They're good at that.
That's right. And somebody that's a musician, he's an artist, he's emotional, and you play on those emotions. You know, Tom, you're the perfect guy. Now, I don't know if this is the case, but it seems like I can see that conversation. Tom, your influence, all of your fans, you can help us get this message out. You are that guy. They love you, man.
But what is the message, Jimmy? I mean, I cannot imagine that the CIA would be trying to get out an actually true message about this.
Unless they are. Now, okay, let's get fundamental here, Whitley. That is an excellent point. If we get fundamental, where we're looking at this from a very pragmatic stance.
OK, Okay, well, listen, let's get fundamental in a few minutes for the free Dreamlanders. And everybody, free and subscribers, if you're a subscriber, tell your friends about this show and this website and get them to subscribe, because we don't have much advertising. All of our advertising is self-generated. No, we don't get any money for it. We're here for you. We don't track you or anything, and we need your help. We'll be right back.
Let me say this. I'm a Dreamlander. There you go.
I know it. He sure is.
Ever wonder what the Close Encounter experience is all about? Think you know what it's about? When you open Whitley and Ann Strieber's Immortal Communion Letters, you're going to experience a whole new vision. Not something being told to us by researchers and theorists, but the actual testimony of people who came face to face with this unknown. Unforgettable. And the book is only $3.99 at Strieber.com.
This is Whitley Strieber. I'll be at the Portal to Ascension Conference October 4th to the 6th, 2019. Go to ascensionconference.com to find out more. It's going to be a really good show. Michael Tellinger will be there. JJ and Desiree Hertok, Travis Walton, and of course, yours truly. I'll be talking about A New World, the new book that I am bringing out, as well as ongoing contacts with Anne, who is still very much part of this whole operation. Incredibly. What a life. Don't miss me at the Portal to Ascension Conference. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Earthfiles.com is Linda Moulton Howe's great website, offering news of the edge of science and reality. Keep up with Linda's work every single day on earthfiles.com. Whitley Strieber became the host of Dreamland in 1998, and he's still the host today. One of the first podcasts, Dreamland has been built into the premier program of its kind, exploring the edge of science and reality. The show's archive on unknowncountry.com dates back to 2004. Dreamland is a treasure unique in the world. Help keep us on the air by subscribing to unknowncountry.com today. Go to unknowncountry.com and click on the subscribe tab. Dreamland, where wonder is spoken.
We're back talking to Jimmy Church about TTSA and its motives and where it came from, why Tom DeLong became involved in it when everybody else in the organization is a high-level or appears to be a high-level intelligence expert, and what is the CIA up to? So let's just continue on that in that vein.
So when we take a hard look at this, I mean, the real question, why Tom? Why Tom? The image of who Tom is, he's a gift to counterintelligence. He is like the perfect guy to do it. But why? And pragmatic, right? Let's look at the black and white. Maybe they need to get out in front of something bigger, that they know that they're now not in control of these answers to the UFO question. Maybe much deeper into the Pentagon and to the White House and what they know, what they may have. We've talked about it for years. Is it that? Is there something imminent that's about to happen in our skies? I don't know, that they may have knowledge of. But is there a story here that they need to get out in front of and control it via Tom DeLong? And be able to say, which they have been doing pretty emphatically, that their information is the real information. That don't listen to anybody else. Don't listen to the UFO community. Don't listen to this person. We have the answers. And that could be as basic as it is. I don't know the answers, but when I take a look at this, it seems like, with a staff like they have there at TTSA, that they're trying to control information.
Well, of course they are. And that's what this is all about.
I look at this from the very beginning. I look at this as something where we need to be very, very careful. I honestly feel, Whitley, that when this is how I, to my very core, how I feel. The universe is vast. Our Milky Way is vast. We have a trillion planets in our own Milky Way. Forget about the rest of the universe. A trillion planets, and the amount of intelligence out there, the numbers boggle the mind. Who is visiting us? It's not one, two, three, four. It could be tens of thousands of intelligent civilizations over.
Yeah. The only really authentic video I've ever seen of aliens, if you discount the rocket video of the alien that's apparently in Area 51 and throwing up and collapsing, which may or may not be a real one, is so completely off the wall. And folks, you can see it. Just go to unknowncountry.com out there and search on stick figure and you'll get it. These videos are fantastic. And they're authentic. They're real. And they're nothing whatsoever like anything we've ever seen at all anywhere or anyone's ever reported. But go ahead.
That's right. And so when the event happens, and whatever it is, and when it goes down, when the event happens, we will all find out one thing, and it's fundamental, that we don't know nothing, that we were all wrong, right? That we were all wrong. And that's a bet that I would make in Vegas.
You know, I don't think this has much to do with anyone in the government. I think they know these things are there. I know they have some materials because Jacques Vallée and Dr. Gary Nolan have gone on the record about those materials and the research they did on them. So they have that. But where do the materials come from? They came from Art Bell. They're Art's parts that were given to Linda and to me and then to Gary and Jacques.
And this is the there's so many complex questions here when it comes to TTSA and what's happening today. But if we really look at the reality, December 2017 is a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now. We're coming up on December 2019 in 2 months, right?
It's amazing. Time flies away.
And all of these revelations, everything that was supposed to happen from TTSA has not.
Happened. None of it has.
No. We've got the three videos. We've got a television series that was released. We've got some books that have come out. But anything real? No, it hasn't happened. So that's the other part of this. How long do we have to wait?
Well, and what if they're waiting for the visitors to make a move?
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly what I think you thought you were saying. Exactly. And I don't think anything happens until they make a move, frankly.
In the video or in the interview that I did with Tom, he said one thing in that interview. And again, I'm not going to quote directly here, but he had said something to the effect of religion. Right, that there was something religion related about these visitors and the objects that we have in the sky, and that we need to be very careful about making contact or attempting to make contact.
And I can tell you from my own life experience, from what General Exon, I believe this might have been my uncle, but General Exon, you know, folks, my listeners all know that I have family that was involved in the Roswell incident, so I don't want to go into all of that. I've probably said it on your show too. It's not a secret, but in any case, that I believe he said it. Am I right? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he said that General Curtis LeMay told Harry Truman that they were demons.
Right.
Am I right about that?
Yes. And that this was a concern that, again, I'm paraphrasing here, everybody. You can go back and listen to the DeLong interview on Fade to Black. But that this was the religious side of this was a concern for everybody in the Department of Defense. And now, what do we do with that? Is this disinformation? Is this a smokescreen? Is it reality? You know, is this a real component of the UFO question? I don't know. And the message coming out when we look at what religions control on this planet, which is just about everybody.
Yeah.
Then you are alarming and getting to the emotional strings of most of the planet.
Well, I mean, you look at this, at the religions, and you look at what they have done over the course of our history. And, you know, is that something we actually even want? And speaking of demons, what is a demon? Is a demon a priest who abuses little boys? Is a demon someone who does the same thing in a hadrasah? Is a demon, what is a demon? Is a demon a nun who methodically torments Indian children for generations in Indian schools or in Irish workhouses? You know, or people who burned people to death for 1,000 years of religious dictatorship. And we're supposed to turn to them because these guys are the bad guys. Somehow or another, that doesn't work for me.
It doesn't. And then the other or is, or are demons and angels, for that matter, bringers of information from the stars, and that the world religions understand this. And they are in control of this, hence the dogma over the years to control humanity. These are very complex issues. And if we suddenly bring in religion to all of this, where the visitors are the angels and demons of the past, and they brought us this information, and how that would upset, think about, you know, Catholicism and how it would implode. And other, you know, because suddenly these answers are different than what everybody has been fed since birth.
Yeah.
The other complex part for me with all of this is that when you are unveiling all of this, certainly in a drip mode, knowing about the religious aspects that could be coming into play here, the testing of the waters. The DOD and the CIA dipping their toes in the waters by releasing this information and confirming UFOs. And it's a pretty exciting time for all of us, by the way.
Yeah, of course it is, because the visitors are coming. They told me years and years ago that they were going to show up when at the point that the planet was irrecoverable. Then they would show up if they had to. And it's going to become irrecoverable, and they're going to show up.
And they want to know. By doing this, and I'm talking about the state actors here, what is the reaction of the world? What is the reaction? And so far, Whitley, certainly the news that broke in December of 2017, which was ginormous, the Vatican didn't implode. Wall Street didn't implode. No. Nobody jumped off of any buildings. Oh, okay, I think we're in a safe zone here. Right. We're releasing this information and nobody's really freaking out all the way through now for the last 2 years. UFOs are everywhere. Conversation in the mass media every single day. Now we've got the United States Navy saying UAPs in these videos are real. Again, no imploding of world markets. The Vatican stands. Islam stands, right? Hinduism stands. Buddhists are still united. And
there's no challenge. It never is going to be a challenge to our beliefs unless we want that, in which case you can have it.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're going to be absolutely free to continue as you wish.
It's an interesting spin that DeLong and others have put on it, this religious aspect, which
because it's all about continuing to control us when there is finally a chance for us to be free.
Now,
that gets me.
Let me spin this back on you now. Okay, I'm going to be host for a second. Let me spin this back on you. If you go back to the UFO community and UFO question back when Communion was published and that era. Okay. Let's go to the mid-80s where all of these things were out there and things felt like they were pushing in a certain direction. Communion comes out, exposes the alien contact question worldwide. Now it is out there in a broader sense. And we roll through the 90s with, you know, Roswell, the MJ-12 documents and other things that were breaking it hugely. Bob Lazar, for instance, another example. And you're right there through all of it. But it was the ridicule and the treatment out of Washington that didn't end. Today, it's the opposite. Did you think that we would be at this point where we are in 2019 on the UFO question? It's been almost 30 years since the release of Communion.
I knew that it would happen during my lifetime, but I did not know when. And I also know that I don't have a whole lot of life left after it does happen. Not that I'm going to be killed or anything, but it happens toward the end of my life. And so, you know, it's pretty exciting for me, frankly, on a lot of different levels. So yeah, I knew. And, because I've always trusted them. They've never been wrong. I mean, before I even knew they were in my life and in my mind, they were getting me to write things in Nature's End that are just now coming true. Nature's End, that book written, published in 1985, has got a vivid description of the fires in the Amazon that happened this year.
Right.
You know, it's full of stuff like that. And a lot of it is kind of hokey. You know, it's a science fiction novel from that long ago. Of course, it's a bit hokey. But the core meaning of the book is really on target and on time, too. It's frightening. So, you know, I have an enormous amount of trust. And I'll tell you another thing. The whole tone of what Tom DeLonge has written and been involved with Peter Lavenda, and what he said on Joe Rogan, is a tone basically of fear. We should be very afraid. And I just don't get that. I'll tell you, give you a very specific reason why. And folks, you can look this guy up online. He's all over the place online. He's a beautiful man called Ed Belbruno, B-E-L-B-R-U-N-O. Ed is a heavy-duty, major mathematician, a very important man in mathematics and science. And he was on a road in Wyoming with his girlfriend years ago when they were stopped suddenly in the middle of the highway in the night by this great big dark object. It left after a few minutes, and he came away with calculations in his head that have completely revolutionized orbital dynamics that are terribly important to our welfare. That's what's going to go down. No, they're not going to be walking the street. No, they're not going to be sitting across from you in a bar pontificating like in Star Wars. But they're here, and they're here for us if we want that. And the intelligence community and all the people connected with it are terrified. They're clutching to their secrets and they're clutching their power. They're desperately afraid that if it gets out that they can't control the visitors in any way whatsoever, their authority will be lost. And maybe it's time to take another look at the whole idea of what governmental authority even means.
I was at, that was so beautifully said, because I'm fully out of the closet now, right? I have talked about my experiences and the things that I've seen, and I realize my position in media today, and people listen to what I have to say. But last year, we're up at Mount Adams, and for our conference, we've got about 250 people there. And sitting with me are about 20 or 30 people in the middle of the afternoon, gorgeous day. And I'm looking up at Mount Adams. It's 14 miles away. And I'm looking at the peak through these binoculars on a tripod. And I'm looking at the nature and the birds, and it's perfectly in focus and it's beautiful. And I'm in this Zen moment for about 10 minutes and just looking at the majesty of the peak of the mountain. And at that moment, Whitley, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in the middle of the day, from behind the peak of Mount Adams, remember, this is 14 miles away, is this object. And it comes out from behind the peak. I don't see it from the left side. It's moving from left to right. It doesn't come in from the left. It just appears from behind the mountain peak and is going to the right, which is to the east. And it looks like, imagine this, 40 miles away, I'm guessing it's probably 400 feet tall, maybe 100 feet wide, 200 feet wide, like a beer can, spinning. And it's black. It's got a chrome. I describe it as a beer can because it's got like a domed chrome top and a chrome bottom. It's black with a round circle in the middle of it that's probably 100 feet tall. Silver. Looks like a logo almost, a silver circle. And it's spinning slowly. And it's moving slowly from left to right. And my eyes, I get frozen in the moment. Like, what is what? Right? And I start yelling to everybody. There's video of this moment, by the way. I start yelling at everybody, pictures, 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 video, video, video.
And I jump in. Seen that.
And I freak out. And I go back. Steve Murillo of UPARS and MUFON, a great researcher, great guy. He's been in the community for forever. Is sitting next to me and he yells, I see it. I see it. It's black. It's spinning. It's got a thing on it. And I get back to my seat and I look at it again. Now this is 10 seconds has passed and I look at it again with my naked eye. I can see it. It's, you know, it's 14 miles away, but it's huge. You can clearly see it in the sunlight. And I go back to my binoculars. I look at it again. And it's perfectly in focus too. It's crisp and clear. And then I go back off of the binoculars to look at it again with my naked eye and it's gone. And I thought we were going to look at this for the next 20 minutes because we had clear blue sky going out for 50 miles, right? To the right. It's gone. And everybody's yelling. It phased out. It phased out. And what do we do with this? Thankfully, we've got videos and pictures and multiple witnesses that were there. It's not just a story, but it was gone. And how does an object that size just show up and disappear? This is my point in this. And it was the holy grail of sightings, right? Middle of the day, giant, multiple witnesses, amazing. But there is no way that our government doesn't know that that kind of stuff is going on. That had to have been visible on radar. It went somewhere. It probably appeared somewhere else on this planet. I don't know. But there is no way that that kind of visitation is going on. It wasn't ours. I can assure you of that. If we have technology of 400 foot tall cylindrical objects phasing in and phasing out on this planet, and it's us, then we got a real issue here. But if it's ET, I'm cool with that. That's an easy answer. But the government has to know. There's no way that they do not.
And somebody has to know, but I wouldn't think that the level of people that are in TTSA know. I mean, we need to understand, folks, that clearances are very vertical. I mean, they're very horizontal. Excuse me. Need to know means that you only get to know what you have to know in order to do your job. And if there are deeper answers, these guys probably aren't there. That's not where they are. But they are looking certainly for deeper answers. Jimmy, I promised you an hour. If you can go another half hour, that would be great.
Whitley. It's you.
Thank you.
How many times have you been on my show where I said, Whitley, we got to keep going here?
Yeah. Oh, I know it. It's true. Well, look. Listen, Free Dreamlanders, we're going to leave you going. I'm not going to let you cut you off. Usually the third hour. Let me pause a minute because I'm going to re-say this. I've got all my tongue tied. See, I have recording, not live, so I can do this.
Yeah. Lovely.
Okay, great. So Jimmy will stay with us for the third segment of the show, and Free Dreamlanders, so will you, because I don't have any intention of cutting you off because you're not paying. You know, this, as time goes on, this site is going to become more and more important to more and more people, even who, people who can't or won't pay for its upkeep. And that means it's going to end up coming out of my pocket again. So I'd better figure out how to earn money other ways. So, which I do anyway. So, and in any case, okay, Jimmy, you know, I want to say something here. Just to go back briefly about the demons, angels thing and the fear factor.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a natural tendency to look to danger first. It's natural. Of course we do, because, you know, that's how you survive when you live in a cave, especially. Now, I want to read something from a great movie, a quote, and some of you, I'm sure, know what this is. It's from Jacob's Ladder, and it's when the chiropractor says, just at the point that the main character is realizing that Jacob is dead, he says, Mr. Singer says, the only thing that burns in hell is that part of you that won't let go of your life, your memories, your attachments. They burn them all away. But they're not punishing you. They're freeing your soul. So the angels, once you stop fighting, the demons turn out to be angels. And that's going to happen to the government too. Once they stop fighting, just like I did. I mean, I fought this for years. It turns out to be something that I can really use, that is enormously valuable to me, that is a huge part of my life, every single day of my life, and that I treasure more than anything else I have ever known, except my own dear wife and children. So that can happen to all of us. They just need to kind of to calm down, quit clutching at this, quit trying to hold on to things they can't hold on to, and let it go. What I fear is that this whole TTSA thing is going to be used to spread terror in order to retain authority. And
that's it.
Yeah, that frightens me. I also want to, something that my wonderful co-author, Jeff Kripal, said. He said this in an email, and I pulled it up. I want to just read this. What is the traditional name for regulating and controlling contact with invisible intelligences and policing the interpretation and meaning of these encounters? Religion, of course. What we have today is a new level of this, translated into government, military, and intelligence forms. But the encounters we experience continue apace, always have, always will. Now, that's the situation. What is happening is the government is actually taking the place of religion without realizing that it's doing that.
Fear is how you control.
Fear is how you control.
That's it. And we see it through any newscast today or any headline. Everything is fear, fear, fear. But it's been going on forever. If we go back, let's go back 3,000 years, right? And you've got a little village. And off to the side of the village is some contaminated water that's killing everybody. The village leaders, and now people need to drink water to survive. That's it. The village leaders step up and go, you know, it's like this. We just spoke to God, and God said, don't drink that water or you will die. The water doesn't get drunk now. And that element of fear, right, that fear is instilled, and you've now controlled not only your village, but maybe guaranteed your survival, that you can live another day. But that mindset continues through today. Fear. Scare the crap out of everybody, and you will control them. When it comes to TTSA, where the word fear throughout 2018 and 2019 in their marketing campaign about what is going on, it's nearly in every press release. You know, and we have to ask why. There are some out there, researchers in this community that I respect, that say, of course, we have to look at this. If this is something we have no defense on, that we have to look at this as something that we need to figure out what's going on, because we don't need to be snuck up on. So there needs to be that aspect of it from our Department of Defense. I don't
agree that that's where it needs to come from. I think it needs to come from the people. I think it needs to come from you and me and our listeners and the close encounter witnesses and the people. That's where it really needs to come from. I don't think the Department of Defense is able to figure this out. I don't think they ever will.
And it's and what's even more, I keep using the word fundamental, but we need to just get to the basics of this, is by using the word fear constantly and putting that spin on it, then I go to the next level and say, why? Why do this? Because it's so simple. If E.T., any one of them, wanted to control this planet, Whitley, you and I are not having a conversation.
Not at all. If they showed up here in 47, and I think they've probably been here a lot longer than that, at any time they wanted to, probably from the beginning of our history, they could have completely controlled all of us. Probably the invasion probably would have taken seconds.
I had Isaac Arthur, great physicist, on my show many times, on Fade to Black and Coast to Coast. Isaac is amazing. And he said one thing that just stuck to me, Whitley. He said, look, if E.T. really wanted to destroy this planet, they had bad intentions, it wouldn't be through a disease. It wouldn't be through a virus. It wouldn't be through laser cannons. It wouldn't be any of that. They would approach our solar system in light speed on their craft, hit the brakes, and unload their garbage. And their garbage would hit this planet at light speed, and it would be over. They don't need technology. They just need garbage.
Yeah, somebody did unload their garbage, and it is us, unfortunately.
I just stopped and thought about how true of a statement that really is.
Yeah.
If they really had bad intentions, we wouldn't even know about those bad intentions because we wouldn't be here to talk about it. And that's it. So the fear factor for me, I just don't buy into. I don't. Like the object that we saw at Mount Adams, whatever that technology was, we don't possess it. And whoever is controlling that craft knows what they're doing. They're so technically advanced, and it's such a basic thing to say, but they're so technically advanced, we don't understand that. We have no clue. If you the famous statement by Michio Kaku about ants, right? We don't stop by ants and try to teach them how to run the internet. You know, it's obviously an intelligent species. It's alive. It's walking around, but they don't understand our world, right? Well, it's the same thing. If what is an intelligent species? What is intelligent life? Well, we're walking down the road. We're not trying to advance bacteria, you know, to evolve into another species. It's something that we don't do. And the interaction with ET here, what is it that we would really understand? What is it that would, you know, not their technology, but certainly the condition of our planet, becoming better human beings, better earthlings, and taking ourselves to the next level. That's a statement that we can understand. That has nothing to do with technology. And that's right. Why I feel that we're in the safe zone. I really, really do. I don't think that there's certainly bad elements out there, but I think those bad elements are controlled. Otherwise,
I know they are, because I'd be something very different from what I am now, if alive at all, if they weren't controlled.
That's exactly.
I've been naked with this thing for 30 years and probably for my whole life.
I had a sighting. I'll share this with your audience. The beer can being put aside a few years ago. And this goes directly at what we're talking about here. I'm with a couple of hundred people, and we're at the edge of a cliff. We're doing a sky watch, and we've got all of our stuff. There's a couple of hundred of us out there, and we're all looking up at the Milky Way. Gorgeous night. We're in the desert and just beautiful. And at that moment, imagine, Whitley, and your audience for a second. You take your arms and you put them up above your head, your hands, and they're 2 feet apart, right? So look at the night sky with your hands outreached and imagine what that 2 feet of the night sky is. It's a huge chunk of the sky. And at that moment, this aquamarine green bluish object sputters, and it's going from left to right. It sputters, it goes brrr, it appears, then it goes solid, and in about 3 seconds, maybe 2 seconds, across that 2 foot swath of the sky, it makes a backwards Z, a Zorro, a slash. It goes whoosh, it comes down, and then it continues to the left. It sputters out a second time, flashes its headlights, boop, boop, and takes off to the left. And 200 people screamed because we were all looking up at the same time. Now,
wow.
Hold on. You know, pump the brakes, right?
Yeah, I should say.
What was that? And 200 people got to experience this joy. I wish you would have been there, Whitley, to hear everybody scream, and like I did.
Love to have done that. Man, I was just thinking that as I was hearing you talk. I'm sure everyone listening feels the same way.
And it's like it's just a little confirmation that we're here. You know, it's just a little thing. We know that you're down there looking up at us, hoping you're going to see something. So here's a gift. You know, and I'm okay with that. What they didn't do was bomb the cliff, right? With the 200 people at it. They didn't fire off laser cannons. They weren't taking out cities. They just flew above us and winked. And it was wonderful.
It's so cool. You know,
and I will take that with me. And when I share these experiences with your audience and with everybody, and I've talked about this sighting many, many times, but when I share this experience, I know that I'm in a position to support the other 200 people that were on that cliff that are going to tell the story. And that's what needs to be done, because they can now go back and go, Jimmy Church was there. He talked about it on Fade to Black. He talked about it on Coast to Coast. He talked about it with Whitley Strieber. I heard about it. I was there, because they need that support, that when they share these experiences with other people, what did they have to go on? It's just a story. I went after this sighting and the other famous green chrome ball sighting, which is all over the internet. You can go and watch it. I got in my car. Rita and I, my wife, were walking away. We're stunned. And we're walking to our car. We're not even talking to each other. And I turned to Rita and I said, you know, if Wolf Blitzer, if Anderson Cooper, right, if somebody was here from mass media and saw what we just saw, would they go on Fox? Would they go on CNN the next day and talk about it? No matter how valid it was, how incredible it was, how real it was, they wouldn't talk about it. So I turned to Rita. I said, you know what? I'm going to talk about this. So the next day, which was Monday, I'm speaking with Lisa Lyons over at Coast to Coast AM. You've known Lisa for years.
Oh, sure. Of course.
And so she calls me up. She goes, so what are you going to do for Coast this Friday? You're sitting in for George and open lines and all that stuff. What do you got going on? I said, you know what, Lisa? My guest is me. And she goes, oh, do tell, Mr. Church, right? And I told her about what just happened. And she said, excellent, do it. So I go on Coast to Coast. You know, I'm speaking to a million people on a Friday night with open lines. And I spend an hour recounting the event from beginning to end. And then I open up the phone lines. What is important here, Whitley, is I was intentionally using the largest radio platform on planet Earth, which is Coast to Coast AM on a Friday night. There's nothing bigger in the known universe. That's we know right. that. Now, I expected Fox, MSNBC, BBC, RT, CNN to reach out to me. They're all listening. Wouldn't they want to know? Wouldn't they want to see the videos of this event? Wouldn't they want to talk to other witnesses? This is a really, really big deal. I got crickets. Crickets.
Crickets, exactly. Because no, that's not what they're doing. That's not what they're about. They will answer to the TTSAs of the world, but not to
you. There was no, and there was no fear, right? There wasn't the fear aspect.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm an outsider with these people. You know, they all know me. I know some of them very well. I've known Hal Putoff for years. We're good friends, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're in the same boat in terms of this stuff at all. And the reason is, I mean, you know, I'm not going down that path because I want people to be free to do this and to make it come out for them, each person, however that happens to fall out. And that's how we made our world. The freedom is what made this world great. And when you try to put authority between us and this other thing, you get religion. And now you get a new religion that is trying to be imposed on us by these people. I'm sorry. It's over. It's over.
And the big question, which we've been discussing all night tonight, the flavor of this conversation, and I'm really enjoying it, by the way, Whitley, is that I don't get a chance to talk. I'm always asking questions. Right? I never get to express where I'm coming from. But the message that is being let out through the mass media right now, through the marketing of TTSA and their open checkbook and their ability to get these press releases out, this controlled narrative, and it is completely controlled, this message that is going out right now, is there a moment of trust where we step back and go, okay, This thing that is TTSA, this thing that is CIA and NSA and DOD and the Army and the Navy and the Air Force, that we can now trust what they are saying to us? How much time needs to pass before we get into the safe zone of, I'm almost calling a dogma, right? I'm almost at the dogma stage. At what point do we get into the trust zone? It's been 2 years, and I had said 2 years ago, give it 2 years. Now we're at that two-year point. It's not there yet. How long do we wait, or do we dismiss TTSA and their checkbook and their ability to push this into Congress and to the White House and to the History Channel? That message is not the correct one, and we need to back off of it. That's where we are today. How long does it take to develop trust? For you, I'll throw it out there. You've been a communion, what, 1987? I'm taking a rough guess here, 1987. Are you any closer to trust of the Beltway and Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I trust them to be completely fallacious.
That's where I'm at. So is this something, and I've posed this question out there, the journalist, I'm not going to name names because obviously some and most are friends of mine and yours, but the journalists that have chosen to ignore the 10 questions that I read earlier on the show and other questions, because they don't want to tarnish the movement of TTSA moving forward. So they've left their integrity at the table. That at what point is everybody embarrassed? And there is a black eye here because objectivity wasn't part of the professional atmosphere. You know, at what point? I don't know. I feel that I've been a little bit lucky in that I chose to back off in the very, very beginning and just report on the story and not support it. And there's a difference, you know, and it's a fine line that all of us carry. I know that my words, your words, carry a lot of weight in the community. So you have to be very, very, very careful as what you tell people to go and believe.
And they will find that the community matters because it matters to the visitors. It matters to the visitors a great deal. They created this community on this website. Most of the people who come here are people who have had close encounter experiences, and that's very intentional. They are here on this website because they are part of this, and this is places like this and like your show and Coast are places, and Linda and a lot of other people, a lot of John, who does such an incredible job with Black Vault. This is where this is going to emerge. Only there's going to be a lot of noise in the major media that is going to try to bulldoze us. But in the end, we'll still be standing. You know, the cockroaches never get killed off.
That's right. And that's right. We can't ignore, this is what's crazy about this. I'm going to announce this, to everybody. Whitley and I are having this discussion on September 21st. Yesterday was September 20th, which was the Storm Area 51 event. Let's go see some aliens, event that was supposed to happen yesterday and, well, sort of did in Las Vegas. If we back up, a couple of months ago, we had where this thing started to take off, bringing Mockingbird, by the way, back into the conversation. 2 million, then 3 million people, 3 million signed up and said that they were going to go to this event. Of course, the Air Force, the logistics, the infrastructure, the law enforcement in that area needs to make statements about what could possibly happen. We all envisioned 10,000, 20,000 people storming the back gates of Area 51 and trying to see them aliens. And now, was all of that part of some kind of disinformation, misinformation campaign on behalf of the government, the way that this played out through Facebook? And I only bring that up because now we're at September 21st. We now know that it was a non-event. We now know, as of today, Jeremy Corbell's base camp event that he had in HECO was canceled today. It went off yesterday with a huge, we had a big lineup of speakers, a world-renowned superstar DJ, and the screening of the Lazar film, a paid event. All of the publicity behind it, but today the media posted pictures of 40 people at that event. 40 when they were expecting thousands. Now, yeah. Today it's canceled. Is this a way for this fizzled event to once again take a stab at at the UFO community? Because today the mass media will start to report that the UFO community is in shambles. There were supposed to be millions of people showed up. Instead, it was a couple of dozen and the events are canceled. And I see it playing out that way. Let's see what the news says, today, tomorrow and Monday about this big catastrophe in the desert that was supposed to be millions of people. Could this be some kind of mass internet media event to pull on people's emotions and to once again take a crack at this community? And I see it playing out that way. I really do. And you can quote me on September 21st, right, the day after this, as this plays out. Let me say this.
I don't need to quote you. You're quoting yourself right now. This will be running this weekend anyway. So next weekend. Today is, it'll start running Friday, next Friday.
I was one of the big networks, and they reach out to me, if not daily, weekly, to go and film something. Most of it I turned down. And one of the wink-wink one of the big networks wants to do a special on the Storm Area 51 event. They want me to go out and tape, and they gave me the list of names of everybody that was involved. I was like, okay, all right. And I sat on it. I talked to a couple of their producers and things. I just didn't feel right about it. And the next day I said, you know what? I got to pass. I don't want to be involved. And the reason I passed for a few reasons. One, it seemed like it was opportunistic. I don't want to look like I wanted my face on national TV because of this event or any tragic things that could happen tied into this event. I didn't want to appear that way. Number two, I felt in my bones that this was going to be a bad situation, that there was going to be nobody showing up. And I know that they want this other aspect because they were hoping for tens of thousands. They were hoping for a Burning Man, you know, they'd be able to go out and take this big thing and all of that. And I felt like
the first Burning Man was like 15 people. I mean, you know, you got to build a thing. It takes time.
And I just felt like it was going to be a non-event. It was not going to be a good experience. And I just felt like I needed to take a step back and just report on the story afterwards and not be involved with it while it was going on. And here I am at September 21st. Thank goodness I didn't go and do that. And the other ones, there was plenty of networks all filming and doing their things out there. And those that went and participated in these specials, well, they probably won't even air now. Maybe they will. But that's the other part of this. You got to be very careful on how the media tries to present this. I have always said that I want to take the position of being credible, that reputations are important, and that the community above all needs to be supported here. And that's the position that I've always taken, community first.
Well, it's going to come down to, I mean, there was just recently a Gallup poll showing the public's still pretty apathetic about all of this. They think something's going on. They don't know what it is, but they're not too into it. But those of us who do know something about what's going on, we're really into it. I'm into it. You're into it. The listeners are into it on all of our shows. And it's a pretty big community. And it's because we've all been touched in one way or another. I mean, you have sightings like you've had. That becomes very important in your life. You don't forget a thing like that. You wake up in the middle of the night in a room full of little aliens who are really giving you a hard time. You don't forget that either. You know? So we're here, and we'll always be here. The world will go on as it goes on. I worry that TTSA is there to step into the place that religion would once have stepped into in the past, should the visitors come closer, and that is going to be very dangerous for everybody because they are trying to impose authority that we have imposed again and again on ourselves across history and always failed at. This is about the ordinary person, you and me, in direct contact with this extraordinary, amazing unknown. That's where I come out, Jimmy, in the end. And I think you probably do too. I'd like to thank, we're just coming to the end of the show.
I wanted to thank you. So let me jump in.
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
I want to thank you for this opportunity today. We have always wanted to sit down and continue our conversations. And this was wonderful. And I know that your audience that has been with you for so very long can go and listen to this conversation today and take away from it what they need to move forward. Not all the answers are here. I certainly don't have them. You don't have them. But collectively, we just put our chips in the middle of the table and push them out there. We'll start to figure this out together. And I want to thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Jimmy, very much for being with us. Fade to black. Don't miss it.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host, and I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.